Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we are recording. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and the Aboriginal elders of other communities who may be listening today.
Welcome to The Gays Revolting, a definitive weekly news source for contemporary gays.
We put the G in LGBTQIA+, and we're here to help you be the best G you can be.
Give us a shout out on Instagram by posting a story of you listening to the show and link back to us at Gays Revolting Pod, or join our Facebook group at The Gays Revolting.
And if you're hanging around on Apple Podcasts, we would not object to you leaving us a rating and review. We would actually love you for it.
All right, so we're back.
Hey!
Post live show.
Yes, we survived.
We're certified entertainers.
Yes, it's official.
It is official. Yeah. And if you were there Sunday night, you probably heard some pretty good reads, which I'm unfortunately didn't make it into the actual episode, so we thought we'd just relive a bit of that
shady lady
introduce my favorite co-hosts. So first up, we have Tom, who's used the show for more plugs than he's eventually going to need on that hairline of
his.
Still cutting.
And it's still just as good. And Kyle, who I'm so happy has so much more free time to dedicate to this show, now that he's not having to approve Puffed Off Sunday photo uploads.
It's true.
And of course, how could I forget the beautiful Mikey, whose makeup skills were actually the inspiration for the hit Netflix horror series, Bird Box.
Thank you. What a compliment.
And I think there was one for me, but we'll just skip over. My name's Luke.
Hey guys, how are you?
How are you?
Did you have fun at the live podcast?
Yeah, it was really
good. It was good. It was so nice. Super terrifying.
So terrifying.
Like, it was good.
Yeah. It turned out way better than I thought it would.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's a huge thank you to everybody that came along.
Yes.
Thank you.
Sunday evening to the live recording. We sold out, which is so cool for our first ever live podcast. And we've had some lovely people message us saying us.
And we met so many awesome people.
Yeah, we met so many people.
It was so great just interacting with everyone.
Yeah.
They just knew everything about us. And we didn't know anything about this.
So we are planning. We're planning a tour. We're going full Priscilla and touring around the country in Adelaide, Brisbane, Sydney, and another Melbourne. Places. And if you want us to come to your town, let us know.
And we've got the bus, like in Dumb and Dumber.
We couldn't afford the Priscilla bus, so we've got the dog bus from Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah,
it's covered in fur.
But we're going to strap Kyle to the roof and have him driving through the Melbourne.
It was like 40 degrees that day.
I know, mate. I was in a corset. Are you kidding?
Yeah. Yes, it was very hot.
I'd spent the day in granny drag at Pride.
That's right. And you were catching like public transport.
I know. I caught it because, so it was the same day as Pride March, which is, of course, in the morning on a 42 degree day. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I wouldn't be able to get an Uber to the venue that I was doing this gig at during the day dressed as an old lady because the street was blocked because of the parade.
Oh my God, yeah.
But the tram, the 96 tram, goes right to the venue.
Yeah.
So I got a tram from Carlton to St Kilda in old lady drag in 42 degree heat.
Oof.
And then spent the day in the sun and then came into the live podcast and drank a lot. And people commented on that. I had a whole bottle during the podcast.
It's always nice when people comment on how much you're
stumbling around. I got a second bottle after the podcast and stumbled around the venue afterwards just drinking red wine out of the bottle. It was great.
It was
a great time.
I don't remember anyone I met, but thank you for saying hello.
You can remember us.
Yeah.
So on Sunday, Eurovision Australia Decides aired on SBS, hosted on the Gold Coast by former guest of The Gays Are Revolting, Joel Creasy. He's really making a name for himself.
He's doing very well, isn't he, Joel?
Yeah. And Miff Warhurst.
I love Miff.
Yeah, that's she's hilarious. So cute.
Miff's a big fan of Bingo. Our podcast. Hi, Miff.
Hi, Miff. You're cool. So the show was to choose the artist to represent us this year at the Eurovision contest in Tel Aviv in May.
Yeah.
Kate Miller-Heike won with her song Zero Gravity. She performed it with a bunch of other talented artists like Courtney Act and handsome gay guy Elfie, who won The Voice in 2016.
Was Casey Donovan?
Is that the one that got catfished?
She got catfished.
Yeah, yeah. That's all I know. I don't know who she is. I just know that Casey's amazing.
She's gone. So she is like turned her career around, fucking smashing it now. Was driving Ubers for a while in the middle there, and yeah, had the whole catfish thing where she was in a relationship with what she thought was a boyfriend long distance for a few years, but turned out to be this girl that she knew. But she's amazing. I would totally vote for her for Eurovision.
Yeah. But I just thought like how gay and camp Eurovision is, and like talk
it's
about
gay Christmas.
Yeah, it's besides Halloween. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the other gay Christmas.
And yeah, this is, I think it's like our fifth year. I think, wasn't it first Guy Sebastian, Dami Im in 2016?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love and then Dami Im.
I love Dami Im so
Dami
much.
Was amazing,
she was so robbed that year. Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, she was, sure. Wasn't she
but
like
we got
in the
close
finals?
That year. Like,
we got so close. But
no
then,
one expected, because, you know, well, actually, we should probably explain for people in other countries that aren't in Europe or Australia why Australia is in Eurovision.
I still don't know.
I actually don't know.
Australia has been obsessed with Eurovision since like the ABBA days.
Yes.
And it's like, it rates incredibly highly in Australia.
Yeah, it's number
even
one,
when compared to other European countries.
It's the biggest audience of viewers outside of Europe.
Yeah.
And it's been like that for ages.
So we had this campaign a few years ago where we campaigned to become part of Eurovision. So they let us do a trial year, which was the Guy Sebastian year.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then they said that we could become part of Eurovision. So we're now part of, we get to compete in Eurovision.
Yeah.
Which is just as camp and nonsensical as the fact that Eurovision exists.
It's so good. And there's so many people are crazy into it.
Yeah.
My friend Paris like bases her whole life around this competition. Like,
yeah, so there's some countries that do what we've just done for the first time, which is have a like competition to
like
see
a
who
semi-final.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And people genuinely fly around Europe going to all of these trials to see who's going to be in it.
Because it's like sports.
Yeah, it's like sports, but with color and movement.
Yeah, yeah, it's like so, it's so political and so serious. There's and people get so
semi-finals, there's finals, there's points, like, yeah, and the scores, and
countries and alliances, it's
judges,
crazy.
Yeah.
And that, I think that's why I've never like fully connected with it.
Give it a shot. Like,
it's like sports.
Yeah,
to me.
I've never really connected with it either. Like, I've watched bits and pieces here and there, but I just don't really
I
get
feel
it.
Like it always,
I know.
I feel like it's right up your
like,
alley.
I've
it's
tried
color,
to get into
it,
and I'm just like,
camp,
oh, it's just a lot for my brain to get into.
I feel like I always miss it. It always just goes past me, and then I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, that thing happened.
Yeah, I know. But last year was Jessica Malboy, and she had that song, We Got Love. Yeah. I really like that song.
So good,
that was really good. She should have won.
I feel like I only ever watched the Australian contestants and that's
Like, that's good. And also because they're like blasting the song here for months.
It is also quite political as well. Europe has a lot of countries that aren't as progressive.
No.
Yeah,
with their LGBTI. Well, with a lot of different human rights.
Wasn't it
issues,
Turkey that
Turkey
pulled
out
last
Turkey
year?
Turkey pulled out because there was a kiss on stage and they won't air that on television. So it's not illegal to be gay in Turkey, but it is not easy to be gay in Turkey either. Russia has also had issues with it before. But the year Conchita Wurst performed, the Russian contestant
they were like
kissed,
neck and neck. And
yeah, they did.
Yeah, yeah.
And they like,
the
like kissed on stage. Yeah. The Russian contestant was slammed for kissing Conchita Wurst on stage because of the gay propaganda laws in Russia. And this Russian contestant was really brave and was like, she is a fantastic contestant and you should all be following her and what she does because she is absolutely incredible, which is really brave of
people
her.
People
in
Russia,
Russia
were saying, this is the end of Europe. I was like, wow, dramatic. Jesus, like, calm your bum. But last year a country had a gay couple perform and China didn't air it with the broadcast. So Eurovision Broadcast Association pulled their rights to show the rest of the competition.
Yeah. Yeah, like, so you have to show the whole thing. If you want to, Eurovision say you have to show the whole thing if you want to have the broadcast rights.
Yeah. It just seems so weird to me to try to remove any LGBT aspects from Eurovision.
Yeah.
Like, one of the intrinsically most gay things in the world. Like if I was in politics, thank God I'm not. But if I was going to target something as being like, I want this to be less gay, or we really need to make sure nothing gay happens at this thing, the event I'd be focusing on would not be Eurovision.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be like, I don't want the people watching Eurovision to
what
think
would
maybe
be left?
We're gay.
Yeah.
Like, obviously.
Yeah. It's so theatrical and so campy and so quirky.
Yeah.
It's absolutely the essence of what makes it.
And I'm sure that it's just a bunch of homos running the entire show.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know it.
I mean, look at these, even these, like, we've only been in it a few years.
Yeah.
But, like, these contestants we had this year for Australia Decides was so queer, like Electric Fields, Alfie,
Courtney Act.
Also, the fact that Joel Creasy is hosting the whole thing with Miff Warhorse. I mean, Joel's not there for his musical knowledge. Miff obviously is, you know, is a fountain of musical knowledge, but Joel is fucking camp and fantastic. And I mean, this is the competition that invented ABBA.
Yeah, and then Celine Dion was on it. Like,
Celine Dion.
Yeah, didn't she represented Switzerland and won.
Why do Australians, you know, because predominantly a lot of our listeners are Australian people, and a lot of fans have actually asked us to even talk about Eurovision. And not being a Eurovision gay, does anyone have any insight as to why it kind of like resonates with Australian culture? Why?
I think it's like a sense of community, and like we're so isolated.
But Australia loves camp.
Well, that's it.
Australia, like, really, I mean, our biggest exports are things like
Kath and Kim,
Kylie Minogue, Kath and Kim, Dame Edna Everidge, Priscilla Queen of the Desert, exactly. Muriel's Wedding,
we
the fucking Wiggles are camp. Like, we love camp.
Yeah.
We're also very competitive.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you guys like Kate Miller-Heike?
Love Kate.
I literally have not thought about her since Last Day on Earth. Like, I thought that was the last song she ever
well,
made.
So Kate Miller-Heike.
Like, she's really good, but I just didn't know.
Speaking of camp, she wrote a lot of the songs for Muriel's Wedding.
The musical.
Which is coming to Melbourne soon. She's been working. She's been working.
Well, good for you, Kate. Have you heard her song for
Beautiful. I'm so excited.
It has like a lot of like interesting noises in it.
Yeah.
But someone was telling me that a lot of like the songs that do really well in the competition have a lot of kind of quirky, weird noises and sounds in it because there's so many people that don't speak the same languages and stuff. So it's easier to like latch onto.
Oh.
And that's really interesting.
Yeah.
It was sort of like one of last year's contestants, Netta from Israel.
Yeah.
I actually did.
She
that.
Like she stuck had all in the my chicken noises. The most. Yeah, it was just like all these weird, like fun noises. I was just like, yeah, get
it,
girl.
But it was so funny because when I was at the drag show, like Work the World, Naomi Smalls' number was absolutely phenomenal. But the song has been stuck in my head for the whole week. And I've just been like, what is the song? And literally today I found out it was Netta's song.
Oh my gosh.
Toy.
Like,
I'm not your toy. It's so good. And I've been listening to it all day.
It's interesting, when ABBA first started, Agnetha and Annie didn't speak English. And so they were singing these songs in English. And even I think their first Australian tour, they still did. Yeah. They learned English eventually, but so they'll sing all these songs in English. They couldn't speak it, but they would sing songs in English, which I think is really fascinating. Like, imagine doing a tour of Australia.
You're like, I think what I'm saying is good. It's like white people with shitty, like, Chinese symbol tattoos on like
barbecue grill.
Yeah.
Barbecue grill.
Oh, Ariana.
Suck it, Ari. I love you, though.
So she was an Uber driver when she got catfished. Sorry, I just want to figure out the Casey Donovan.
Oh, we're going back to Casey Donovan.
Yeah, so the real topic here.
Casey had a lull in her career and got a job as an Uber driver, which is fine. Like, you know, people have to get jobs when they aren't on TV anymore.
Yeah.
And was working as an Uber driver for a while. And then, I mean, read the book. Like, it's fascinating. And she's so honest in it. But yeah, had this mega fan that sort of became a friend and then sort of met this guy online that would...
Yeah.
And every time she would buy him a ticket to come and visit, because I think she was living in Perth, I want to say, and he was living in, like, Sydney, or so she thought. And then every time... she'd buy him a ticket to come.
Ghost.
Something would happen up. Yeah. Like, his grandma would die or something like that. Oh, and he was also, and this is awful, would say to her that he would like it if she got off with this fangirl.
Who was the guy catfishing
him, pretending to be this guy online. It was insane and fascinating. And read her book.
Has catfishing being a topic on our show?
No, but there's this episode of Catfish where the guy that was catfishing did a similar thing, but every time they went to like meet up, someone in his family would die. I'm doing air quotes.
Sure. Right, yeah.
And I couldn't believe that this person couldn't connect the dots because he was like running out of family members.
Right.
It was like, oh, I have six sisters and they've all died in the last year every time you've gone to meet me. One of my exes, I met up with him and he told me once that he'd just broken up with his boyfriend because he suspected that he was cheating on him because he had to like travel interstate heaps. And so without his knowledge, he like booked a similar flight and then went to the same like interstate place that his boyfriend was going, downloaded Grindr, found like the torso, started chatting to him from a blank profile, and then was like, hey, yep, let's meet up, and like sealed the deal, and then was like, by the way, this is your boyfriend. Your stuff will be outside by the time you come.
Amazing.
Oh, I've flown all the way here to catch you out.
Amazing. Dedication.
Yeah. He could have just paid for the expensive version of Grindr where you can drop your pig anywhere you like.
I don't think it existed then.
Oh, right.
But I was so proud. I was so proud.
So the day we recorded our live podcast was, of course, the same day as Melbourne's Pride March, as we said earlier.
Which was so much fun.
And there was some exciting news came from our fearless premier, state premier, Daniel Andrews, Daddy Danny. He announced that the Victorian Labor government will be banning conversion therapy in the state of Victoria. Now, a lot of people, including myself, were very surprised to hear that it's not already something that has been banned in the state of Victoria. I knew it wasn't at a federal level, but it's not still currently completely legal to...
state by state to do thing.
It can be a federal thing and it can be a state by state thing. No states have banned it and the federal government hasn't banned it either. So at the moment, Australia, conversion therapy is legal. So the Labor government have committed this year they will be introducing legislation to make it illegal in the state of Victoria. They're also pushing for other states and the federal government to make a change. Disappointingly, the federal Labor party have not said that they will completely ban it. They've said that they would like more education around it and that sort of stuff. Off, that's not going to do anything. But Daniel Andrews is like going full
balls in.
So they want to make it illegal completely. They've also committed to in-principle funding for counselling for people that have suffered through conversion therapy, which I think is also a
really, really, really good
because it has been happening for decades and there are a lot of people younger and older that need help
Going through that lasting effects.
So the investigation they did, which was done by the Health Complaints Commissioner, that found overwhelming evidence that it does serious and long-term damage to people who receive it. They even found that there was exorcisms being performed at these.
Spooky.
It's really disgusting.
It's ridiculous. Geez. Like, why would you expose someone to that? Especially, like, what's wrong with
quite often it's parents sending their children. Sadly, it's often people that have been targeted themselves their whole life and they choose to go because they think that that's their only option, which is awful.
Yeah, so, because I have seen people fighting back saying we should have the right to choose to this choose for our lifestyle. I'm like, no, like, your mind's somewhere else. Those, you need to get help to see that you are fine and that you're okay and you really need to change yourself.
There's very few people that are saying that. This is the problem with how the media works these days. They find somebody they find, like, it sound like it's a 50-50 conversation.
It's more like the Australian Christian lobby who have come forward and they have people being like, oh, we should be able to choose that. And it's like, no, you guys suck. It's like, shut up.
You guys don't choose it. You choose four people.
With, like, trans rights. And they always post, like, the two or three articles from people saying, I regretted transitioning. You keep seeing those articles pop up and you don't get to see the full gamut of experiences, which is...
And it's the same in the marriage equality debate. They found a few gays that were like, oh, no, we don't want marriage equality.
I remember that on TV and I was like, what the fuck?
It's like, congratulations. You found the 0.001% of people in the community that don't want it.
Quite odd.
Anyway, but you are right. There is the occasional person. There was the... I don't know if you guys saw the former gay conversion therapist who was also a Mormon. Was his name Matheson something or
It's
Matheson.
Always Matheson.
David Matheson.
Sorry, David every Matheson who listens to
our
podcast.
So he ran gay conversion therapy, said that he was himself a converted ex-gay.
Successfully
converted. Was married.
I'd love to test that out.
And is now,
6 years. Like,
well, and is now come out as gay again, but still supports conversion therapy.
Just like, it
works. I feel like he's disappointing it because he's got three books that he's written that
that's
trying to steal money off. A friend of my, I have a wonderful queer cousin, and a friend of hers many years ago grew up in Perth, and his parents bought him a holiday in Melbourne. He found out just before he left that it was a gay conversion therapy and didn't tell them that he'd worked it out, got on the flight to Melbourne and organised to stay with some friends when he got here and never spoke to them again.
Oh my God.
How old was
18.
Whoa. Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
Holy crap.
Around about, I assume, Anyway, it's a fuck thing, and I'm so excited that Daniel Andrews has come out and has said that they are going to do this, and I hope it is done quickly.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
It's just a shame that JB will be out of a job.
Do you think that there is... I don't know. I mean, I love Daniel Andrews. I love that they're doing this. Do you think waiting until the day of Pride March to announce this? I mean, obviously, it's a political thing. Is there anything wrong with that? Is it nice for him to say it on a day like that where we can go,
yeah,
because
it'll be like uplifting and give people like really like...
Or say that they decided a week earlier. Is it not more important to say it a week earlier when you decide it?
I don't think it's indicative of a problem with him himself.
But more how of, politics works.
More of how politics works in general, and mainly of how these studies and policies work in general. Yeah. A lot of these studies into the mental health of LGBTIQIA plus people have existed for years and years and years, but to actually make any policy changes can take forever, even if it's as clear as day or clear as the skin under Mikey's eyes, which dazzles me every week. This bitch was out all weekend and his skin is still flawless. But we get them and we see them. They come through from APS and it's like 99% proven that, you know, this is beneficial for the psychological treatment of anxiety and depression, and you won't see a change for like 5 years or something like that. Yeah, it kind of boggles my mind that things can be so straightforward as exorcisms and not just a fun Sunday thing to do with your friends. You know, they're not going to make you not gay.
Yeah, I think one thing that I worry about, or that I've thought about a bit, is that like it is going to go very underground.
Yeah, like very in secret. It's like, how are they going to find all these people practicing?
That's what I wonder. I mean, like, how are they going to monitor this?
Say that it already is fairly underground. Totally. Yeah, yeah. You know, you don't see big billboards for it and stuff like that. But I guess that's just going to have to be part of the government's job is looking for it. I mean, people talk,
weeding
you know,
them out.
Hopefully people hear of other people sending their kids to it and dob them in and that sort of stuff. But yeah, you're right. It is a huge problem. Mm. I mean, the vibe on Sunday when this was announced was beautiful on social media and that sort of stuff. People are so thrilled that this has been done. Yeah. There was a survey recently of about 2,500 LGBTI people and they were asked to prioritize what's important to them post marriage equality. This was the number one thing that that's people awesome. Responded to, followed closely by better processing for LGBTI refugees and counseling services as well, especially in regional areas. So, you know, this is obviously something that we've been pushing for a long time. This is something that we all care about and I'm glad they're listening. It's
good. The government actually hasn't specified what the punishment will be.
Not yet. No, like, so it has, now it has to go through. Like they have to write up the legislation.
So like, what's like, what do you think about that? Like,
jail time, I hope. Jail time. I mean, I think performing, I mean, jail time, I think for the person that's running it and hopefully large fines or...
I think like, it should be definitely very harsh. Absolutely.
Yeah, like, for anyone that's sending people to it. Yeah.
Gay conversion therapy is like so saddening to me because I don't know a single gay male who hasn't at some point in their life tried to not be gay.
Pray the gay way.
You know, even in their internal thoughts or the way they present themselves to the public. Like, it's very rare to meet a gay man that hasn't internally tried all of these processes and then had to go through the acceptance phase and some really awful struggles mentally to get to be the people that we are now. Mm. It boils down to that idea that there's some sort of choice being made at some point in our development.
Yeah, like don't people think if it was a choice, why wouldn't we pick the easier option? That's what always baffles me. Like obviously why...
But I chose to bottom and that's not the easier.
That's the wrong choice. He has gastro, everybody, I'm telling you.
it's not a fun time to be a bottom. It's like it really questions these fundamental things of nature versus nurture and choice of sexuality.
It's a complete lack of understanding.
And
which is why I'm glad the government have also said, as well as fines and all that sort of stuff, they're working on education as well. So people are trying to seek out underground services as well.
Has to be
You are right, Luke. Imagine, you know, when you were like a kid or a teenager or whenever it was when you were going through that phase of like trying to dress differently and trying to look and fit in. Imagine if there was then adults there saying, you need to do that. Like that would completely fuck with you for such a long time.
It's dangling a carrot. If you were questioning yourself, and really, you know, who doesn't want an easier life for themselves and acceptance? And to have the people that are meant to be your mentors, your the moral support in your life, your family, the people saying, hey, you can actually go to this place.
You go do that and they'll fix you. Like, no, that's not...
To dangle that in front of someone can do even more damage, I think.
When I was in my early 20s, if someone had said to me, if you could flick a switch and be straight, would you do it? I would absolutely have said yes.
I feel like a year ago, I would have said yes.
I just think like, well, you are in your early 20s. But yeah.
Thank you, early 20s. Thank you.
Well, you look like you are. And but now that I'm in my early 30s, I'm like, fuck, there is no way I want to be a straight person.
No.
Their lives are so boring.
Yeah, it really is. And then, you know, like, I have this conversation often, and like, I'll be joking, but I'll be like, I feel so lucky to be gay. Like, you have like all those responsibilities of kids and stuff. Like, if you want them, you can have
them. I can
have
sex and a child won't happen.
Oh my God. Yeah. That is like the number one thing. I'm like, fuck no pregnancy scares.
It's also like, not this like expected thing of us getting, like, you know, if you want to get married, you can now. Yeah. If you want to have a kid,
it's nice
you can
have the choice, Tom.
But we're not expected to have this board. And the opportunities that also being gay has opened up for a lot of us, I think, is fantastic. There's no way I would do it now.
I 100% agree. And the perspective that it's afforded me, also being biracial
and queer,
the perspective and the knowledge and the experience, I wouldn't pass that up. If you slid into my DMs when I was 20 and asked me that,
saying that that was you had similar feelings about being a person of color as you did about being gay? Like, did you wish that you weren't?
I definitely did.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, when I was a child, I would like stay out of the sun so that my skin wouldn't get darker because I just wanted to be white like everybody else was.
Oh my God.
Like,
that's awful.
You have it pretty laid out for you really early on in life how difficult the path ahead is going to be. And you do weigh up those options when you go to sleep and you go, if I could get rid of this. Yeah. And for me, I had my personality to deal with as well. So
and your looks.
And my
I mean, like, how much time do we have?
And of course, color played into it. And my parents were pretty upfront about that growing up. This is going to be an issue. The kids at school made it pretty clear.
Oh, yeah, they
pretty
did.
Quickly.
Do you think your parents prepared you well enough, like, while growing up for that?
No, I don't think my parents did a great job. The one thing I would say they did was letting me see my heritage and see the Philippines.
Yeah, that is
really so being able to see that there's a world outside of Australian primary school.
Puts it into perspective.
But being queer as well, they obviously couldn't really prepare me for that.
Yeah.
But you do the maths.
Was your school predominantly, like primary school, predominantly white?
It was 99.9% white.
And did your parents take you to any like extra school activities that had more people of colour or anything like that to...
I wasn't an extra activities kind of
kid.
Participation was not my bag. Well, and that's the thing. It probably plays into being gay and being a kid is you're like, I need to exclude myself from as much stuff as possible.
What about yours, Mikey?
I mean, when I first sort of had memories of being in school, we were the only like biracial people who were New Zealander at my school. And then there was one other Asian family and then there was a Turkish family, but they were all very, very light skinned. So you couldn't really tell with them. But yeah, we made friends with the Asian kids because it was just like, we're the only ones here.
My primary school had two people in the whole school that weren't white.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was crazy. Ridiculous. And then when we sort of got later in primary school, there were other New Zealand families coming over. So we made friends with all of them. And we would hang out outside of school. And that was amazing. And I loved that so much. But in school, it was just like me and my white friends hanging out.
Do you think schools now are still very segregated? Or like, do you think...
Depends where you are.
Because I remember in high school, I just did year 11 and 12 in Australia. But there were definitely the groups of the Islander boys and like the groups of like all the white girls and it was quite separate like that.
I think it doesn't so much in Australia depend on the school itself. It's more the area that you're living in because most of the schools have the thing about that you've got to be within whatever distance of the school to attend the school. So Mike and I both grew up in the southeastern suburbs of Melbourne, which is incredible. I mean, not as much now,
not
but
now,
incredibly white 20 years ago.
Like in primary school, it was predominantly white, and then high school, it was a lot more sort of different races
what
in there, which was great.
Again,
so I went to Kringle Park Secondary College in Frankston. And there was a lot of Islanders, there was a lot more Asians, which was amazing. And then we had a couple of different Aboriginal families come down and everyone was like, yes, this is so good. Like, thank you.
I'm not supposed to go within 10 kilometres of school, so I can't currently
he has to announce his presence
on what it's like
been
right
up
now. From what I can see from a distance. Oh,
which is not much.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So we have a heteronormative holiday upon us.
Wow.
Known as Valentine's Day.
V-Day.
So we're recording on a Tuesday, and it is in 2 days on the Thursday. So
counting down.
It'll be released afterwards. Yeah, it'll be in the past when you hear this. You know what? I've just never been a massive fan of Valentine's Day. Like, it's just a bunch of absolute bullshit, in my opinion. Like, I'm sorry. Like, you shouldn't be pinning it on one day to, like, express your love.
I feel like both sides of that. Like, I do feel like it is also nice to just have a day to remember it and just...
To remember it. It's not Anzac Day.
I know. Lest we forget. But now I'm all hoity-toity because now I'm in a relationship. So I'm like, yes, Valentine's Day, let's do this.
I've always been of the opinion, though, like, if you truly love someone, you will make special days outside of Valentine's Day. Like, it's just a big ploy that you can buy crap to express your love. Yeah. Here, buy all these roses. Buy all the chocolates. Like, no. Like, yeah, I'm not buying into it.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. But also, like, isn't every day on the calendar a heteronormative day? Like, Christmas, none of us are religious.
Yeah.
None of us give a fuck about the religious side of Christmas. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we like it because it's like a day of, like, getting together and doing stuff with family and friends and whatever. You can just sort of make it whatever you want it to be. You don't have to go for the whole, like, I mean, I'll be obviously celebrating it the way I celebrate it every year.
How's that, Tom?
What, on Wellington? Just waiting for someone to stick a red rose through one of the glory holes. Like,
is it festive in there? Do they, like... Are they love?
Do you know, I don't think
stuff?
I've ever been on a Valentine's Day, but I imagine it's very romantic.
Like lit candles.
No, I don't particularly love Valentine's Day, but you can sort of use it as a good day. You know, if things are sort of going along well with someone, it's a good way of sort of reading how they want to take it. The Russian messaged me today.
Oh, okay.
I've been meaning to ask. How is that going?
Well, look, we've had a chat. We're taking it very slowly and nothing is official or anything like that.
Aww.
The more time I spend with him, the more interesting and funny I find him.
You're That's in nice. Like with him.
I'm in like with him a
Would
lot.
You like to do something on Valentine's
well,
Day?
Well, so he messaged me saying, what are you doing on St. Valentine's? His English is still a bit broken, which is really cute. On St. Valentine's Day.
So formal.
But sadly, I've got my trivia night. So
fuck.
He's coming along to my trivia night so we can hang out in the breaks between my trivia.
That's really fucking cute.
It is cute. Really it's very cute. And also, just been crazy busy with Midsummer and stuff, so we haven't seen a huge amount of each other. But for me, it's been like a great way of going, okay, well, he wants to spend Valentine's Day with me, so, you know, maybe he wants to sort of keep exploring where this is going and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree that like the whole chocolates and roses and hotels and that sort of thing is very much a commercial thing. But you just sort of make it what you want it to make it. I mean, the lovely Joel Creasy, there was a few years there where I didn't have anyone, so he would just send a box of cupcakes to my work.
Oh, that's nice.
For Valentine's Day. You know, you can just sort of make it a friend's thing if you want as well.
I love it.
Yeah?
I love it. I'm totally down for February 14th or whatever it is.
what is it? Easter?
But it's similar to the other topics we've talked about where it's like when you're in your 20s and when you're questioning things, these heteronormative holidays and these heteronormative ideas can really put a pin in your day.
That's very true, yeah.
They really sting a bit and you kind of hate it and you go, ugh, I want nothing to do with that. It was the same with marriage before we had marriage equality. Yeah. You're like, I don't want anything to do with that. As I get older and I realize that we're afforded more and more liberties and equality, it's new to me. I know a lot of heterosexual people that fucking hate Valentine's Day and they're sick of it because it's something they've had forced down their throats
and they're expected to do something
expected to do something their whole lives, whereas as LGBT people, a lot of our relationships we've had to keep on the down low for a lot of our lives, and some of us are getting to a point where we feel comfortable being a part of a heteronormative holiday,
yeah,
like Valentine's Day, and I think that's great. So it's changed my...
It's new for us.
It's that, new, and yeah, it's new the and same exciting. With marriage, being like, you know, that's something I swore it was not for me. Yeah. Now I realize that I can have it. Yeah. You know what?
Maybe. Do you have any Valentine's Day plans this year, Luke?
What do you think?
When in Wellington? Just,
it depends on who's dating in 2 days.
Yes.
Maybe I'll slaughter a goat. Yeah,
no, but I agree with you with that.
Mm. Like, what are you and Duncan doing?
So I made a booking at this cute restaurant we like. It's Thai food, and you like sit on the floor with all pillows, and it's like really dimly lit. We're gonna get a nice bottle of wine. I thought about sending flowers to his work, but then I was like, they don't really talk at his work, and they don't really know about his sexuality, so I'm not sure if I want to out him at his work.
Well, you didn't have to say who they're from. That'd be kind of cute.
Yeah,
just say from your love.
Also, it's really intimidating sending him flowers, because he's like a landscape architect, and he's like, he knows all the plants and all the flowers and what's good. And I'm just like,
Jesus.
I'm like, these are white flowers.
You could send him like Australiana themed flowers.
Yeah. My favorite kind.
Yeah.
But like in the past, I mean, this will be my second ever Valentine's Day date. My ex.
What, are you 2 years old? Oh, this your second ever date. Sorry.
Jesus.
You said it was your second ever Valentine's Day.
It's my second ever Valentine's Day date. The first one I ever went on was with my ex, and I was like 20 years old. And I remember I was so against getting flowers because I was like, that's not mask. Like, that's really awkward. And it's kind of announcing that I'm gay walking around with a flower. What did he do? He gave me a rose, and I had to walk around Brisbane City with a flower. And I remember we went to, it's not as big in Melbourne, but it's called Vapiano's, like that chain restaurant where you can like get pasta and everything.
Is that like faster pasta?
And you wait in line and you like choose your pasta.
I know Sizzler.
Yeah, and we were just like young and stupid. And then we went and got a table and sat down, and it was so busy. We were trying to enjoy each other's company. And then this like group of like four rowdy people were like, oh, there's no tables available. Can we sit with you? And we were just like, sure. And then we just sat there in silence as they were just going off the whole night and just really loud. And in your face and abrasive. So we got robbed of our Valentine's
Day.
Ruined
it.
Yeah. So you know what? Making up for it this Thursday, it's going to be adorable.
As I said before, I'm not one for Valentine's Day whatsoever. And I haven't actually spoken to Josh about how much I dislike
He's listening to the Day. No,
but I've decided to put aside my feelings this year. And I'm actually going to take him out for dinner on Thursday night. We're going to our favorite hot pot restaurant called Dragon Hot Pot, which I'm very
literal restaurant.
It's really good, actually. You guys should go. Like, you go in, there's a wall of ingredients, you fill the bowl up, and then they cook it up.
I don't like anything where I have to do some of the work. That's why I go out for dinner.
Yeah, exactly. You pay people for a service, and I want
it. Fun thing, though. Like, everyone's in line, like, ooh, what am I gonna have today?
I wouldn't trust myself with that. I wouldn't cook it through and then die from like what I've eaten.
And I actually bought him a present as well, which is nice, because I don't buy.
Is it you in a bow naked?
No, that's every other Saturday. So no, it'll be cute, because this is his very first Valentine's Day.
Proper relationship.
Oh, cute. Yeah.
Proper boyfriend.
So you got a super low bar.
Yeah, exactly. It can start right down here.
Like Valentine's Day handshake. There you go.
Build it all the way up. So it should be cute.
I think it's nice. When I think about Valentine's Day, I think it's nice that the people that I know feel comfortable enough to be a part of it and do something on that date. Because I know 10 years ago or so, not a lot of my friends in the LGBT community did feel that way. It was a day of like, I don't even want to talk about that. Like,
And I think that's very much connected to what Kyle was saying about being at a restaurant with a rose when it's a gay couple or something like that. Like, it's not that we weren't having relationships 10 years ago or 15 years ago or 20 years ago. Yeah. It's that expressing that in public was not easy to do. So
and I feel the absolute opposite now. I feel really excited to just be proud with my man in a restaurant. Aww, I want to hold his hand and like,
I'd love to be a fly on the wall, especially afterwards.
I think I know.
It's pretty dark
having romantic sex.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever get like cards and stuff at school?
We did it
and
one
none for
year.
Gretchen Wieners. Bye.
We did it 1 year, but sadly, I probably got like two, and I was just like, I hate this. This sucks. And that's probably where this all stems from, to be really honest with you.
Yeah. I think we're getting to the let's talk a bit more, Mikey.
I have stress from when I was a kid, and I gave a girl a packet of jelly beans, and I was like, hope you have a sweet tooth, in a card. And then she gave it to the class, and they all paid me out for the rest of the year. Aww. It was horrible. And then I got gay.
Yeah.
And then I got gay. Yeah. I love it.
I remember at school 1 year we had, this is an awful repressed memory that's just coming up. We had it all out. It was Valentine's Day. It wasn't like an official thing where we all traded cards or whatever, but all these different kids got different cards in their bag at the start of school, mm-hmm. at recess when they went to the bags. Everyone had put letters in each other's bags. I know I didn't have one. But then at the end of lunch, I had one, but the handwriting was suspiciously similar to Mrs. Wilson, my grade 2 teacher. Oh, and I think she might have put it in there for me, and I totally forgot about that until right now.
One time a girl gave me a ring in primary school on Valentine's Day. But I was really young and I threw it in a bush and then cried. And then I got in trouble for throwing away the girl's ring.
Was it one of those like push pop ring things?
Oh my God. No, it was like an actual ring. I think her parents had given it to her and she'd given it to me. And then we got told off again later because she used to force me to play this game called Parents.
Okay.
Which is where we would just take a blanket and cover ourselves and then roll around. Oh, gosh. Each other. God. And it was cool. And she just got it playing Parents.
Well, I hope she's like, in whatever some therapy now. Doing in there. Who knows? So I am advice. I need advice. So the Russian's coming to the trivia night. I'm only going to chat to me in between breaks. I want to get something, but I don't want to commit too much. What do I get?
A good performance.
I think the cornier the better. Like, make it like stupid.
Something really Australian would be great.
That's a good idea.
You get those, it's like, you know, you get the Lindt chocolate bunnies. You get the Australian like bilbies or something.
Oh yeah, then,
yeah. It's like the same thing in the gold kind of, but it's very.
It's a bit Easter-ish. Could save that for Easter.
Yes, this what is about true. You? I don't know why I was thinking Easter.
What's the indigenous restaurant in Fitzroy that Harry and Meghan went to? What was that called? Charcoal Lane.
Wait, so before the show or after the show?
No, I'm thinking like I'll buy that. Like I'll see if they do a voucher or something like that.
Yeah,
that
that's night cute.
And we can do it another.
And then he like doesn't take you.
I'm not gonna imagine.
Dinner for two and you're not invited.
He's like, thanks.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Like just I'll get some roses. Yeah.
Gifts are always best if you make it yourself.
That's true.
Maybe give him a pasta necklace.
I'll bottom for him.
Oh. You know what you could do? You could get the make your own dildo kit.
Wow.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. He's got 2 days, people. He's got 2 days.
Or Jesus. You could like buy dick chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you get like chocolate sphincters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can get the mug. I saw that. You can mug. Yes. No, but it's like a kit where you model it on your own.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. You pour like plaster of Paris in your ass.
I saw white people going like crazy about that on Instagram. And I'm like, that white is. People. That's like,
yeah. But here's white my butthole.
It's like they'd never seen a brown butthole before in their lives.
I wonder what they would look like if it was like a fisted asshole.
Oh, no. Stop. Oh,
like a really big chocolate.
You'd have to get the family, Capri family block, which is now shrunk as well. So yeah,
la 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 la.
No. There's this video I saw on Twitter of someone filming the apartment across the road from them, and it's this guy fisting the shit out of this other guy, and a chick filming it on her mobile phone. So there's three of them in the room.
Oh,
the two guys fisting, and the comment just said like, "He's not a punching bag, dude," because he was like, going to town. It was the most hectic fisting I've ever seen in my life. And I saw that on Twitter, on my timeline,
on
my feed, on the way to work, on like an 8 o'clock morning tram.
It's like,
stop.
Good on them. See, they'll be doing something romantic for Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's an idea. But I think
that's an idea. Solid.
If I'm ever like at a pinch, if you make something,
it
means a lot more than like just something you can go buy, even if it's not very good.
Okay. Still, heartfelt that
you
way.
You still made it. Like when Declan drew a picture for him.
When Luke says Declan, he means my boyfriend Duncan. He's just special that way.
Do you reckon you can get Duncan to draw a picture for me to give to the Russian?
Say something like
that.
How
much time you got?
2 days. Yeah. We established the timeline.
He's busy. I've got him busy.
I wonder. So you know how Christmas has like anti-Christmas people who are like, they call them Grinches. What would you call an anti-Valentine's
person? No, because people always say happy. I remember people would say happy sad, like Singles Awareness Day.
Anti-vaxxers? So we did do our live show last week. The opening topic, we're always good with a cold open.
Oh, yeah. Chechnya being one.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone remember the Chechnya episode? Yeah. We did it again. We open with consent, which is a really serious topic. It's a really important topic, and it got a lot of feedback on the night, and a lot of people in the Q&A wanted to further the discussion, and a lot of the people that I spoke to after the show had some very thought-provoking experiences they wanted to share that I thought maybe in the context of 15 minutes on a stage, we didn't really have time to do the deep dive into the murky world of consent in the context of being a gay man. So with everything that we spoke about on Sunday, you can listen to the last episode if you're just hopping in now. I thought it's a good time for us to expand our thoughts a bit more without the pressure of being in front of a live audience. Oh, what an open, guys.
Well done. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It is a very big topic and it is hard to squish into 15 minutes, especially, I mean, congratulations to you guys. That was the first thing you'd ever talked about on stage in front of an audience, which is a tough thing to open with. One thing that we didn't get to talk about, which I would really like to sort of explore with you guys, I mean, we talked a bit about consent in sex on site venues, but not about gay bars in general.
Yeah, and I think that's such a big part
of it. It's a huge part of it. Some people seem to think that being at a gay bar, because we were all there primarily because of our sexuality, means that it's open slather for grabbing and touching and that sort of thing, which is obviously not.
No.
Consent needs to apply 100% of the time wherever you are, no matter the venue. Is that something you guys have experienced?
Yeah, for sure.
I think all our listeners would have as well.
Yeah, I think something that I did want to touch on in the live show that I didn't get to was, especially being in drag, I found that people think that they sort of get free will to do whatever they want because I'm dressed up in a costume, that they can grab and touch me and do whatever they want.
Yeah.
In actual fact, no, that's not okay. Not at all, I've definitely experienced a lot more of that being in costume than I do when I'm sort of just dressed in my regular guy clothing, which really, really sucks. Like, it's just like I'm here presenting myself in a way that isn't comfortable for a lot of people and takes a lot of balls to do, and to have someone come right up to me and grab me up the ass or like lift up my dress and like think that it's an okay thing to do, like don't do that to anybody. Like, it's not a nice thing to happen. Like, there was one instance that really has stuck with me, and definitely I have my guard up a lot more now and I'm a lot more aware of it, where I was dancing with a friend and just so happened that there was a group of straight guys there that night, and one of them came up to me like drunkenly. I didn't know who it was, and they came up behind me and like started grabbing me and like put their like hand up my skirt and like tried to like take off my underwear. And Jesus, I was just really fortunate that my friend that was there saw exactly what was happening and was like, hell no, and like put a stop to it, because they could see that I was uncomfortable. I didn't know what to do. And instantly, like, they went and got the security. They were just like, this isn't cool. You need to get these people out of here. I pretty much just left and went home. This sort of thing happens to any female presenting person. Mm-hmm. Like, this obviously happens to a lot of women all the time. And, it wasn't until I experienced that I really sort of understood what non-consensual touching was. Like, I obviously know what it is, but to actually physically experience that was really quite a scary thing.
I had a similar thing with, we did a corporate gig as the Grannies about a year ago. It was a whole lot of like drunk straight people, which is, you know, a lot of corporate events are. And afterwards we were outside in the smoking area having a chat to a few of them. And this guy that was standing there literally just without any warning or anything stuck his hand up my dress to grab my dick and grabbed it. Yeah. And, you know, broke character and everything. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, just checking. So he was checking to see if I was a cis man or not.
Yeah. That's so fucked.
I could have been a woman and then you would have just grabbed a woman by the... It doesn't even matter that I'm not a woman. No, it's still really bad that you grab me by the dick. But then there is also the other side of this as well, which is drag queens can quite often not have boundaries with guests, especially pulling like hot guys on stage.
I know that
when I first started hosting in drag, I definitely was guilty of being like, you know, get your top off, that sort of thing. Maybe not necessarily.
Yeah, that is something you see quite common.
But like, yeah, it is. And and look, I'm not saying that that can't be part of drag culture anymore, but you need to check that that's okay before you're telling someone in front of an audience to take like their top off or to, you know, or grabbing their ass or anything like that as well.
Yeah. I've had this situation that keeps happening to me. I go to like Poof Doof quite often. I had an instance where it was like 4 a.m. and I was just in the middle of the dance floor, just living my best life, but like completely fucked up. I don't know where my friends were at the time, but this man came up to me and I was just like dancing, having a good time. And he came up to me and he goes, look what you've done. And he is like, I look down and he's just grabbing his erect dick in his hands, like through his jeans. He's like, look what you've gone and done. And I was like, no. And like, because I was so fucked up and vulnerable, I couldn't defend myself. I should have told him to just like, fuck off, get away. away from me, but I'm no, thank you. Like, no, haha.
Yeah.
Like, played it off, was really polite. Yeah, and I couldn't defend myself. And he just was so persistent. But now it's become this thing that this man frequents the venues that I go to every single time, and he seems to find me. Like, he's cornered me in the bathroom hallway before. He's put his arm up to stop me from going, and I've had to, like, duck under it. And I don't know why I've never reported him. Like, I've never gone to security. But I literally dread the part of my night because I know I'm going to have to mentally psych myself out. I'm like, I'm going to see this man. And I've been, you know, when you're with your friends and you're dancing in a circle or something, and he will come and just stand on the outskirts of our circle and just blankly just stare straight at me. Like, you kind of ignore him and he just stays there, and it's very uncomfortable. And you ask him to go and he's like, oh, I'm not bothering anyone. And then he'll just keep standing there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just,
you need to report
him. I feel like
not
I'm literally getting shivers now thinking about it, and it makes me feel so uncomfortable.
You need to report him, not just for your own sake, but also because you don't know who else is doing that. You know, there might be people there.
And I 100% have seen this as well. I've seen him preying on other people, and he always goes to people who are very drunk or on something, and like, I feel like they can't.
He's preying on people.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's
praying,
a
predator. And it gives me such shivers, and I feel so uncomfortable.
You probably feel like a dag or a dork or whatever, dobbing someone in that hypersexual environment, but that's okay. You're allowed to do that.
And I think,
and a lot of gay bars, especially the ones that I know well, which are the ones in Melbourne Circuit, the Peel. I know the 86 is very good at it. And it's interesting you say Poofdoof, because I know that Poofdoof have banned people for doing stuff like this before.
Well, good.
And they are very good at it. Yeah. So you really should, next time you're there, you don't have to let him know that it was you that did it. You can have a quiet chat to the staff at the venue.
Yeah.
Because they will ban him, and it will stop him from being able to do that to other vulnerable
people. Yeah, it's like all my friends know who this person is now. We discuss him. We're like, we're going to see him
tonight.
He
needs to be pulled up.
And then we talk about how annoying and everything is. But yeah, we get so used to this hypersexualized culture and everything, and just being in clubs, and then we become numb to it, and then we can't identify it when it is happening.
Yeah.
And especially when young gay guys, like, you're first going out, and you're vulnerable, like, you're coming to terms with yourselves, you feel lost, rejected. Somebody touching you, even if it's inappropriate, like, it makes you feel accepted and wanted, and you start off with that mentality, you just start thinking that it's okay, and then you can't identify it later on down the line. Because I just, like, I don't know what happens. Like, I just shut down when it's happening, and I'm like, I can't do anything about it, and I freeze. And then my friend, like, Blake, he was like, you need to fuck off. And he just started, like, he yelled, he's like, I'm depressed. And we're like, well, fuck, go deal with it.
And the more he gets away with it, the worse he's going to become and push his boundaries. And
I think it's one of those things, like, when you see it happening to someone else, you're more than, like, comfortable to step in. But when it's happening to you directly, it's sort of just like, oh, hang on
and
a
then
second.
Like, it's like, have you seen that thing on the internet when it's like people saying, trying to explain consent to a straight man, tell them to go to a gay club? I was like, that fucking rings true. Yeah.
I wish there was, like, a platform where, I know a lot of my female friends have, like, secure Facebook groups where they can post about people that are sexual predators on public transport, out in the scene, and basically name and shame these people, but in a protected space. Maybe there is that Facebook group and I'm just not a part of it, but I know a lot of my female friends have found that really useful to have a community where they can say, this person is harassing me or touching me. If anyone is in this area, stay away from this person. And I think something like that for gay men and the venues that we frequent would be really useful. But yeah, the first time I ever went to a gay bar was when I was like 16 and snuck out. And, you know, like you said, I just wanted to fit in. So an older gentleman was like buying me drinks. He actually snuck them in his bag, and it didn't even tweak to me that that was
dodgy.
Like
a
red dodgy
flag.
Yeah.
But he had like 4 Mount Franklin water bottles in his bag. And he's like, don't worry, it's not water. Just keep drinking it. And my friends had left at that point because I'd somehow convinced my straight friends to come to a gay bar with me, you know, when I'm 15 for a laugh. And before I knew it, I was like not really conscious. I was not at the same venue. I was now at Le Sing, which is like this karaoke venue, and people were playing some weird dice game really loudly. And I had to like sneak off and go to the bathroom. And I had a Nokia 3210 to still think about all the time, and had to ring my dad, who thought I was in bed at the time, and say, I am actually not in bed. I'm pretty certain I'm at Le Sing, which is down from Mars Bar. I don't know what's going on, but I can't see straight. I'm hiding out in the bathroom.
So he spiked your drink.
Yeah, well, basically, I'd been losing consciousness. They'd been touching up the back of my shirt and down my pants. at some point as well, there was like three of them as well. Yeah. And my dad had to like come in, even though we hadn't had a discussion about my sexuality or me sneaking out.
Yeah.
And carry me out of the bathroom over his shoulder. And I was even littler then. I was like a 12-year-old, like sized like a 12-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah.
And went over to the table and he was like, he's fucking 16, you pieces of shit. Mm-hmm. Like read these guys for him. Filth. Gosh. It was something that I just accepted of like, well, this is the hedonistic lifestyle of being in a gay nightclub.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important to reevaluate where our boundaries are and have this conversation. I was thinking about it because we did talk about some of the Me Too cases that had sort of popped up and disappeared when it came to gay men in particular. Mm. And it did stick in my mind as to like, why are we maybe not having this conversation louder? Why is it not getting as much press? Or why are we not angrier about it? Because people on the night were angry about it. People wanted to talk and they wanted to have these conversations, but why aren't we? But I thought maybe there's this hesitance with us, and there definitely is personally with myself, to have these conversations that might paint the LGBT community in a negative light and to have these conversations in a public space and have them blow up consent in gay bars with gay men when we've been demonized in the public eye forever as being sexual predators, you know, as being like non-consensual villains in films, in TV shows. And we're finally starting to break away from that where like we can have gay characters on television that aren't sexual predators or murderers or psychopaths or whatever. Maybe instinctually, at least for me, there's like this hesitance of being like, do we really want to open up this can of worms when we're just starting?
Yeah, so it's like you want to protect the community, but like at what cost? Yeah.
I think you're probably right. There is probably a hesitance in there. I think it's also a little bit that we are scared of sterilizing these environments and making, you know, we like going out and fucking, and but we don't need to worry about that either, because consent doesn't mean not having sex anymore. It means making sure that everybody is on board with the sex that's going ahead. And the way that consent has been painted by some people as it's like this big bad thing, but maybe perhaps it puts people off the idea of introducing that to the LGBTI scene, which is wrong. We should be doing it. We should absolutely be doing it.
Yeah. It's the same feeling whenever, this is like slightly controversial, so I'm really sorry to our listeners, but whenever there's a breaking news story about a major robbery or some of the stuff that's happened in the Melbourne CBD, and I'm flicking through Twitter and in my head I'm like, please don't let it be a brown brother. In my head, you're like, this is a community that has been demonized enough by the mainstream media in particular that you get protective. And so when
and
you
see... And they're then used as like examples.
Of. So I feel like maybe at least with some of us sharing our experiences of non-consensual examples, we're like, oh, I don't want that to be used by the mainstream as the example for how gay men interact with each other. Because it's certainly not.
No, because we're suffering for it.
Yeah, but I think it is time. The realization I had from the live show is people really want to share these experiences. And there are a wider range of experiences when it comes to consent than maybe we've touched on, be it what happens when you're at a venue, what happens when you're in drag, what happens when we talked about online hookups on the live show. But I think it's something that we just need to start talking about publicly with each other and really open it up again. I also think it's really one of the best things about drag getting more mainstream attention is that it has given a platform for drag performers to stand up and say, as respected performers in the industry, it is not okay to touch me.
That's it.
They're on Twitter. They're followed by like millions of people now. Yeah. Bob the Drag Queen is very big at saying like, consent is a thing. You can be a fan, but you cannot touch me. And I'm not going to like smile and be your little performing pet.
Have you guys seen that YouTube video about consent and comparing it to tea and offering someone a cup of tea? And at any point they can say no to tea. Such a great video. I saw that really recently. But it's very, very good. Maybe we'll post it.
I like the video of the school kids get to pick what greeting they want when they walk in.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah.
It's so cute. The kids like line up and they have like one kid that's a designated hello person okay, for the yeah. day. And then they have like a board where they point at whether they want a hug, a wave, a handshake, or a high five when they say hello. And so the kids can just walk up and point at, I want a hug. And so the kid will say good morning and hug them. And then the next one will come and say, actually, I just want a high five.
Yeah.
And they can set boundaries at a really early age.
That's really good. Yeah.
And the kids are always so sweet and dorky. And there's always one kid that's like freezes on the spot. And doesn't know what's going on.
Like me at the live show.
Yeah. Or like points at high five, but hugs. Yeah. But yeah, I this topic really excites me for like where it can go with our community. Mm-hmm. And I think it is the right time to have it. We specifically talked to a lot of young people who were just coming up into the scene and finding out who they are and where they fit.
And like thanking us for being so open and honest about all these conversations that we're having, because it's really taught them a lot.
Yeah, and we should have some really great standards in place for the next generation of LGBT youth and the generation after that. Because I think it's a trickle-down thing with consent. Yes. What you know is what the next generation knows is what the next generation knows. I am more than happy to continue talking to it. Yeah, I'm really proud of everyone that spoke up on that night. Proud of us for talking about it and sharing our experiences. Mm. And yeah.
Good work, everybody.
And I got a goat to slaughter. So it's not going to wait all night, ladies.
Did the goat consent?
Well, that's it for another episode.
Yeah.
So nice to see you all back in the studio. Thanks to everybody for tuning in. Don't forget to share it round.
Yeah, you can subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And please let us know what cities you want us to come to. Yeah. It looks like we've got Adelaide and Brisbane and
to Brazil we go.
No, it looks like we've got Adelaide and Brisbane and Sydney at the moment, but it'd be nice to hear from you guys.
Who doesn't want to go to Adelaide?
Yeah, who wants to see us? Radley. Like, please let us know, even if it's like a small town.
Northern Territory.
Northern Territory. Okay,
cool. I'm hoping to Brisbane. Oh, we could go to the Beat Mega Club. Sorry, I'm just like reminiscing over Brisbane. The Beat is the best club ever.
We're basically just doing this podcast so we can check out every
game. Oh my God, I'm so keen. Sorry,
bring us to the bars, boys.
So slide into our DMs. Tell us where you want us to go. That sounded wrong.
Show me on this doll.
Thank you again for listening to us. We'll be back next week. And bye.
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 Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.